Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Let's think about this just for a moment. What does God require of the believer? Now, a lot of believers think that God requires, you know, like be nice to people, and these works of the flesh type things where we're all so nice. God's not interested in nice. God's interested in the cross. God is interested in His Word. God is interested in the blood. But I'll tell you one thing, the cross of Christ was not nice. It was brutal, it was barbaric, it was unbelievably bloody. There was nothing nice about the cross. But a lot of believers are into this nice mentality. As long as I'm nice, I'm a Christian, I have to be nice. No, I'm a Christian, I have to be led. God told Saul to kill an entire nation. That was not nice. You could say, God, you're just not a nice here. But He told Saul to kill an entire nation. And He said, don't even leave the women, don't leave the children, don't leave the animals, kill every one of them. And God considered that to be right. He wasn't interested in nice. Now, I'm not saying that we be unkind to people by any means, but God is interested in us responding to Him, not in us responding to some sentimental, emotional concept of how a Christian ought to be. He's interested in us responding to Him through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes God was very patient and kind. That is His character and that is His nature. But there was also a time, especially in the Old Testament, when dealing with nations that were not His nations, when they went after idolatry, that God was not nice. And as a matter of fact, there were times when He dealt with Israel and He was not nice. When Israel was taken into Babylon, that whole event was brutal. When Israel was leveled by Titus of Rome in 70 AD, that whole event was brutal. God was not interested in being nice. Now, by that, I'm not saying that God is not kind. He is kind. But nice is not what God's really thinking. Nice is what sappy sentimentality is thinking, with a religious concept of what it means to be a Christian. But it's totally off base. But there are some things that God does say in His Word that are required. And Israel is the Old Testament picture of the believer. And the Word of God says, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? And there's three things that He requires. The first one is to fear God. Now, that word fear there is the word yare. And it means to reverence Him with awe, with honor, and with respect. Now, how do we get to this point where we fear God, reverence Him with honor, and with awe and respect? Well, the Word of God says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. The word there for fear is a different word. It's yara, not yare, but yara. And that fear is a fear that has terror. It's awesome and it's a terrifying thing. And this is what God says is the beginning of wisdom. It's a terror that produces an awe and a reverence out of fear. of God. I mean, it is the kind of terror where you do not cross because you are afraid to cross. Now, this seems kind of contrary to what we've been taught about God's character, but it's really not. You see, there is a point where a believer needs to come to God. And that believer, especially if it's a young believer, needs to have a reason to believe. He needs to have a reason to do what is that which should be done before God. So the terror of God, the fact that I am terrified of Him, is the beginning of wisdom, and that terror leads to awe in my heart. Now, that which I fear, I will obey. Why? Because I don't want it to hurt me. Now, this is like, people would hear this and they say, oh, this is heresy. God is gracious and kind. And yes, He is gracious and kind, and this does not actually conflict with those notions. Now, in Proverbs chapter 2, and starting in with the A part of verse 3 and then skipping verse 4 and going into verse 5. If thou criest after knowledge, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And the word understand there means to observe it, to mark it, to give it heed, to consider it. So if you cry after knowledge, you'll start to consider and give heed to the fear of the Lord. Now, in Proverbs 111 and verse 10, the Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord, again, is the beginning of wisdom. Well, what is knowledge? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Knowledge is when I have the Word of God resident in my heart and as my frame of reference for my thinking. That is knowledge. So when I fear God, when I am not reverential necessarily, but afraid of God, I will do that which He tells me to do because I am afraid of Him. And I will take on knowledge. What do? God says, read your Bible. Because I'm afraid not to obey Him, I read my Bible. God says, go to church and receive the Word of God. Because I'm afraid not to obey Him, I go to church and I receive the Word of God. God says, live purely before Him. Because I am afraid not to obey Him, I will live purely before Him. But as I increase in knowledge, as the Word of God pours into my heart and becomes the operational frame of reference for my soul, I start to change. Now, the Word of God says that in Psalm 119 and 105, that the word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. So all of a sudden, I no longer obey God simply because I am afraid of Him. I start to walk in the Word of God because it is that which illuminates where I'm going and what I am doing. It is illuminating my thoughts. It is illuminating my way. It is illuminating my decisions. And it is illuminating my walk through life. And now the Word of God has taken on a different character. The Word of God is simply something I took on because I have to take it. And I know before God that I need this. And so I respond to what I know that I need. That is fear. If I don't have it, I am afraid of what will happen. So I take it because I know I need it. Fear of the Lord. I take in the Word of God and I grow in knowledge. Wisdom is the skillful application of Bible doctrine. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, knowing what to say, when to say it, how to say it, are the results of good wisdom, the skillful application of doctrine. So I go from fear to establishing the Word of God as the governmental premise in my heart. And when I establish the Word of God as the governmental premise in my heart, it produces a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Now, in Deuteronomy, the second thing that God wants from us is to walk in all His ways. How do I walk in all His ways? Well, I just said it. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. I'm sorry, and a light unto my path. A light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So when I have the Word of God, I start to walk in His ways, not because I am afraid of Him, but because it is simply illuminating my decisions to me. And I walk in His ways. And what are the ways of God? Well, what happens when the Word of God comes into my heart? When I hear the Word of God, something changes. The more that I hear the Word of God, the more this will change. Faith cometh by hearing. In Romans chapter 10:17, when I hear the Word of God, I start increasing in faith. And as I increase in faith, because I believe the things that God has said, those things start to transform who I am. And as I become transformed, it's no longer from fear, but simply my way of thinking that I pursue the ways of God. So fear, in truth, leads to faith. And as my faith grows, and my Word of God intake grows, I start growing and changing and responding and growing more and changing more, responding and taking in more Word and taking in more Word and growing more and more. I've had people ask me, how do you grow? It's very simple. You receive the Word of God. And they don't quite get it, why that works. Well, how is receiving the Word of God going to transform who I am? Because the Word of God has the power of God in it. It is Christ. It became flesh. It is the mind of God. It is that which created the universe. The Word was spoken and the universe was created. Mind you that it says the Word was spoken. God didn't write the universe into being. He spoke it into being. People sometimes, even now, just like past couple of weeks, I've heard of people who are thinking that the preaching of the Word of God is not that important. Nonsense. The preaching of the Word of God is all important. Because that is what produces faith in my heart. A good preacher of the Word of God will build faith into the soul of the believer. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Word of God says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what does that mean? That means that as growing faith through the Word of God, I will approach God more and more. I will come to Him more and more. I will rely on Him more and more, to the point where He is my only source, and where in my weakness He becomes my strength. The place where I get in trouble as a believer is when I think that I have an area of strength. If I think I have an area of strength, I'm deceived. I have no strength. The world is stronger than I am. My flesh is stronger than I am. My desires are stronger than I am. Lust patterns are stronger than I am. Satan is stronger than I am. Other believers are stronger than I am. The influence they have on my soul is stronger than I am. And if it's the wrong person, believe me, Satan's going to make sure that they are stronger than I am. This is why the Word of God says, be careful who you hang around, you're going to become like them. I don't have the strength in me not to respond that way. So what do I do? The Word of God gives me walls of doctrine. And walls of doctrine, and doctrine is simply specific thinking for specific categories through the Word of God. Walls of doctrine are like the walls of a city. They protect that which is inside. And they also give structure to that city. So I develop these soul structures through walls of doctrine. And I can rest in them. And now when something comes against me, I have walls of doctrine to act as a shield of faith. And when I have that shield of faith, it doesn't really much matter what comes my way, I'm not going to be moved. Great peace have they that love thy word. Why? Because nothing shall offend them. And what does that word offend mean? It means they won't be moved. It's not like they won't like what you're saying. No, they won't be moved. Only through the Word of God providing structures in my soul, structures built of doctrine, can I not be moved as the believer. How is it that you can have a missionary who goes out, say C.T. Studd for example, this was a man who had kidney disease, both of his kidneys were shot. The doctors were saying you cannot go anywhere on the mission field. He has spent his life in India and China. The doctor said, you cannot go on the mission field. You're going to die there. When he had a vision to go into the heart of Africa. Nobody's been to the heart of Africa before. C.T. Studd goes to Africa anyway. And he survives there for 18 years. He walks into the middle of Africa with kidney disease. How is it that this man has the ability to do this? Why? Because he's got walls of doctrine protecting his soul, governing his mind, ordering his steps. It's the Word of God. This is a man who let the fear of God become faith in God and had doctrine become his operational premise. Now, in Psalm 34, in verse 8, as I grow in faith, I increasingly start coming to God. Now, no longer do I obey Him because I am afraid of Him. Now I obey Him because I simply believe Him. Now I obey Him because He's transformed my heart and transformed my mind and transformed who I am. And now, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And it's Psalm 34, and verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. See, when I walk in the fear of God, when I allow the fear of God to become faith in God, I allow myself to be led by God. And in Psalm 23, if I am led by God, then there is nothing that I will be wanting. If He is shepherding me, then what is it that I need? It's like, you know, at our church we've been talking a lot lately about sheep and just how dumb sheep are. One of the pastors mentioned, Pastor Love, He was in Ireland. He saw some sheep. They walked into a bush. And they kind of got stuck there. But you know, a good shepherd, the sheep's too dumb to worry about anything. So the shepherd takes care of everything. See, God takes care of everything. That's why I love, for example, what some of you guys have decided, that you're not going to date, because you're going to keep yourself pure before God. You'll trust Him to take care of everything. Purity before God is priceless. And God will honor that. So when it is time to have a physical relationship with a spouse, God will honor those decisions. And that physical relationship will be all that much more rich. Not only is it right before God, not only does it protect your soul, not only does it protect your heart, not only does it prevent soul infections — by the way, you can get a soul infection — not only does it prevent soul infections, not only does it prevent the wrong concepts, not only does it prevent the wrong frame of reference, it also enhances when it's right. It takes a step of faith to trust God that He is good and the rewarder of those who diligently see Him. It takes a step of faith to trust God and know that if you will come to Him, that He is good. Have you ever really considered that God is good? That He is better than the things that the world has to offer? I mean, God is better than sin. God is better than impurity. God, you know, God is a greater lover of your soul than any human being can be of your body. God is jealous over you. Do you think if God is jealous over you and He has purchased you with His blood, that when it's time that He comes, when the time comes and He gives you a spouse, do you think it will be someone who is less than awesome? If I pursue it myself through immorality, let's say, or impurity, or getting physical before God's time — and by physical I mean all aspects of physical, even kissing, because kissing is a form of submission. I submit my soul to the person that I kiss. That's not a good thing. Now, God can break those things. God can deal with them. The cross eliminates them. Whatever authority that person may have is completely severed. God restores me. But God is better. If, you know, 1 Corinthians 7:1, it is better for a man not to touch a woman. And because of the grammar there, it is both ways. It is better for a man not to touch a woman and a woman not to touch a man. Why do you think it says it is better? Because to touch a woman is worse. It is better that he not touch her. Why? Because God has something greater to give to the person who keeps himself pure before God. Above and beyond, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. But not only are they added unto you, they are added unto you in Ephesians 3:20, above and beyond all you can ask or think. I don't know about you, but I can ask or think a lot. But he says, even as much as you can ask or think, he goes above and beyond. It's like not just a little, but beyond, like out there. like you don't even have the ability to contain it. Why? Because taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. He is a good God. He is a loving God. And He will not give us second best. You know what we do? We pick second best for ourselves. We don't even pick second best. We like go down in the toilet. And that's what we pick. In Proverbs chapter 5, therefore being justified, starting in verse 1, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Therefore being justified by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. See, what is it that when I fear God and I grow in faith, I become justified before Him? My justification before God is a justification of faith, not a justification of any works, not a justification of the law. Quite the opposite. The law has the strength of sin in it. It cannot justify anyone. The law can only expose and bring in sin. But Christ is the end of the law. And when I have faith in God, when I walk in faith before God, I am justified before God. When I have faith in God in my heart, I am justified before Him in my position. When I have faith in God in my experience, in my walk, when I respond to Him and I walk in faith, I am justified before God in my experience. Wisdom is justified of her children. The skillful application of doctrine will lead me into the steps of faith. And it will be justified by the fruits of my life. And all of a sudden, I live a fruitful life. I don't know, somehow I always get back to this, but in Proverbs chapter 11:10, he that winneth souls is wise. I heard of a person recently who tried to debate that. I don't know, if one soul is worth more than the whole world, you think God kind of had a high estimation of winning souls? If Jesus Christ came down to seek and save that which was lost, you think maybe He had a high estimation of winning souls? You think He maybe considered it wise, since that's the only thing He did on earth? It's funny, Pastor Shibale said this recently. This is a great statement. He said, if Christ came down to seek and save that which was lost, and somebody is not habitually, as a lifestyle, they are not a soul winner, maybe they don't believe in soul winning, but Christ came down to seek and save that which was lost, what's your problem? Like, where are your values? What is it that is your priority if that was God's priority? You know what it is? It's arrogance. It's someone who thinks they know more than God. I would not want to be arrogant before God. To know the right and do it not is sin. What was it that he said last night? I wouldn't even want to hear someone speak who doesn't win souls. Because they don't have the heart of God. And why, if somebody doesn't have the heart of God, why would God even speak to them? Why would He give them something from His Word? if they don't know God enough to have His heart. That's wisdom. Anyway, when I walk in faith, I am justified before God. When I am justified before God, I have peace with Him. See, I'm no longer afraid. That fear has turned into faith, and that faith has turned into justification, and that justification has turned into peace in my heart. I'm no longer fearful. I'm no longer terrified by God. I have peace with Him. I come to Him and I know that He will reward me and that He will be good to me. In verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace. When I come to God and I receive His word and I grow in faith, and I know that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him diligently, I enter into His grace. What is it that He rewards that person with? He rewards them with grace. What is grace? Grace is when God gives me that which I did not deserve. That is grace. And God gives me those things, although I am a sinful man, God gives me those things that I do not deserve. I deserve the cross. Instead, He gives me eternal life. I deserved hell. Instead, He prepares a mansion for me in heaven. I deserve judgment. Instead, He takes judgment upon Himself and gives me mercy. I do not deserve those things, but He gives them to me anyway, because I am a sinful man. But I am a sinful man who has a great big Savior, and I trust Him. And when I trust Him, that grace that is mine in position before Him becomes my experience. And so I have access by faith into His grace. Notice that it says, into the grace wherein we stand. It doesn't say into the grace wherein you enter. I have access to the grace in which I stand. It becomes the day-to-day experience of my life. Is the grace of God. One of the things that's lacking today in Christianity, I think, is the day-to-day experience of the grace of God. That is why Christianity to so many Christians is not sweet. But when I have access to the grace in which I stand, my walk with God becomes sweet. In Colossians, in chapter 2, in verse 7, the Word of God says that we are to be established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Where does my faith come from? I was taught my faith. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. But how can they hear if they have no preacher? I need that Word of God preacher. Because of that Word of God preacher, I can enter into peace with God and experience the grace in which I stand as a daily experience in my life. I don't have to walk in fear anymore. I don't have to walk in condemnation. I don't have to walk in anxiety. I don't have to walk wondering what's going to come around the corner. Does he like me? Does she like me? Is it going to work? Is it going to be okay? I don't have to worry about it. I enter into the grace in which I stand. I experience it. I have access to it. And it becomes my own because I diligently seek Him in it, and He will reward me with it. And then I taste and I see that He is good to me. And it comes because of that Word of God preacher, preaching grace and preaching faith into my soul. in verse 5 of Romans chapter 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us." And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, that is the third thing that I am required to do. I am required to love God. There's only one problem. I can't. No human being can love God, because we are of the flesh. We are of the dirt. There is nothing in us capable of loving God. But that's okay. See, in 1 John 4:19, we love God because He first loved us. See, what is it that faith that walks into an experience of grace, and as I continue to walk in faith, what is it that develops in me? God loves me in my walk. And as I walk in faith, I am drawn by the everlasting love of God. The loving kindness will draw me. And now I do not fear anymore. My fear has turned to faith, and my faith has turned to love. And now I have the love of God in my heart, because I have walked in access to the grace in which I stand. And it produces the love of God. And it is shed abroad in my heart. It is shed from God to me in my heart. In John 13:34, the Word of God says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this men shall know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You see, in Deuteronomy 10:13, if I'm serving God, I'm walking in faith. If I'm walking in faith, it produces access to the grace in which I stand. If I have access to the grace in which I stand, it produces the love of God shed abroad in my heart. And because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, it's talking from God to me. When that happens, I walk in a new commandment. See, it's not something I can produce. It's something that I simply receive. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love him. For he that loveth fulfilleth the law." You see, we Christians are so worried about living in the Ten Commandments. That's not how we live. The Ten Commandments were not the source of our righteousness. The blood of Christ is the source of my righteousness. And the law is not something I perform. The law is something that I allow to be expressed in me when the love of God is shed abroad in my heart and I learn to love one another as He has loved me. Then I fulfill the law. See, I cannot fulfill the law any other way. Only if it is fulfilled in me, for me, and through me, by Him, by His Word, by His blood, by His grace and His mercy, being poured out through the Holy Spirit, and I receive it by the preaching of the Word. And finally, in Deuteronomy, it says that we are to serve. Well, faith works by love. It's not a striving, it's not a prediction, it's not a should do. It's not because I ought to. It's because faith works by love. I am so constrained by the love of God that I have no options That is the love of God working through me. And no longer do I fear God. You see, there is no fear in love in John, 1 John 4:18. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, it started with fear. Mind you, it says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. It doesn't say that he that feareth receives no love. But he's simply not made perfect yet in love. This is the path of perfection in love. It starts with fear that has torment, which causes me to obey God, receive His word as obedience, that produces His life in me, which builds faith in my soul, which allows me to walk with God, because His word will be a lamp unto my feet, and I respond to His word in faith. That faith then takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in my heart. As I walk with God, I learn of His love and I receive His love. When I receive His love and I learn of His life, and it becomes a life-changing force in me, then I am fulfilling His commandment and I am constrained to serve God. The disciples ask, what may we do that we will do the works of God? And Jesus answered them in John 6, 28 and 29, in the 29 verse 29 portion of that. He said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believeth on Him that He has sent. You know what kind of works will be respected by God at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat for the believer? The works of faith produced by love. Not the works of anxiety or ought to, but that which constrains the believer's heart, which transforms the believer, because those are the works that will impart life. Those are the works that God will inhabit when they are of His nature and His character produced in my soul. And then I don't do it as a work. I simply do it in faith response through the love of God in my heart. There are three things we need: fear, faith, and love. And that is the perfection of our faith. That is being made perfect in the love of God.